Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. We'll be looking at evangelism in depth. Many of you have asked what we do on these trips to Latin America. Well, we're teaching evangelism and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find pictures of what's going on this week in Latin America by going to abideinchrist.com, 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 and on the upper right-hand side of your screen, click on I Saw God Do It, Mission Reports with Will and Ann Pounds, and they will take you to hundreds of team reports of what we're doing in Latin America, teaching evangelismo en profundidad, evangelism in depth. In our workshops, we begin with greetings and welcome to those who are attending the workshop. It's a workshop that deals with personal evangelism. And evangelism is simply telling other people the good news in Jesus Christ. Participants in the workshop on evangelism will learn how to prepare and share their personal testimony, win the right to be heard, and how to share the plan of salvation with unbelievers. It is the privilege and responsibility of every Christian because we're all called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 18, "As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." Just as God the Father sent Jesus into this world as his testimony and to share his life and bring redemption, he sends us out to communicate, to preach the good news in Jesus Christ. God uses his word to bring people to himself. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, "And so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In accordance with God's word, we will ask people to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Evangelism is a great work of God. He invites us to come and join him in what he is doing. And even now, he is preparing people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, even as he prepares others to share their testimony and the plan of salvation with them. Stop right now in what you're doing and ask God to put his hand upon us as we share Jesus Christ, as we teach evangelism in depth. The things of God are spiritually discerned because the Holy Spirit gives spiritual insight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." They are spiritually discerned, and therefore the Holy Spirit must give understanding. Pray with me that God will move over the people who hear the gospel presentation, which must be done with authority and with the Spirit of God, or otherwise it will be ineffective and powerless. We must recognize our total dependence is upon Christ and his word. Don't look to me, look to him, Jesus Christ, and let's see the hand of God moving over people's lives and bringing them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God gives us the confidence to witness to the unsaved. We have the power and direction of the Holy Spirit as we make ourselves available to him. The witness has no power other than the Holy Spirit. And because this is God's work, we should not seek any glory and no fruit other than the fruits which God blesses his witness. Our goal is to bring people face to face with Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul reminds us that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. I'm so glad that he includes you and me. The Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some men count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Pray with me that people will come to know Christ as their personal Savior in these hours and days as they listen to the presentation of the gospel. There is no greater joy in the Christian life than to share the testimony of God's grace with others. In our study, we will emphasize three important factors in our witness: the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and our personal testimony. The Word of God gives us the confidence to speak about Christ. The Word of God will never return to Him empty. It always achieves its purpose in bringing lost men to Jesus Christ. The effective witness must always be under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. All who testify in the flesh will fall to the ground like rotten fruit. But when the Holy Spirit gives us power, our witness will bear eternal fruit. Why should we be personal witnesses? The simple answer is that Jesus called us to be witnesses. Jesus came up to his disciples and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. It is the privilege and responsibility of every believer to be a personal witness. The spiritual state of mankind requires that we attest to the individual lost condition, and the eternal value of the human soul requires us to share Jesus Christ with them. The most effective way to reach a lost world is a personal witness. Most unchurched people are intimidated, are scared to go to church by themselves. Jesus calls us to be His witnesses. He said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men," in Mark chapter 1, verse 17. Because we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, we are now His ambassadors. So therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God in Jesus Christ. God authorizes us to be a team empowered by the Holy Spirit. God has promised us His presence and power in Jesus Christ while we are sharing with others. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. There are no exceptions to His promise. Put your own name in the verse. "I am with you," Will Pounds, "always, even to the end of the world." Just before His ascension, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We never go out to share Christ by ourselves, because our confidence is in Jesus Christ. He's always with us in every situation. And the Holy Spirit is our help. He enables us to be effective witnesses for Him. His job is to reveal Christ, condemn sin and unrighteousness, and bring spiritual regeneration. Let us not deceive ourselves into thinking that we can do the work of the Holy Spirit. We are to be His witnesses, and only He has the power to convict of sin and save the soul. Personal discipleship is vital in the ministry of evangelism. Every true Christian who is growing in the Lord has the desire to share the most valuable thing about his life. You cannot remain silent without sharing with people what Christ has done in your life, because for you, Christ is the most important person. If you've fallen in love with Jesus Christ, you will tell others about him. It's impossible to hide that reality. The disciples had seen Jesus ascend into heaven, and no power could stop them from telling others about Jesus. And the same applies to you and me if we have an intimate personal relationship with the risen Savior. The greatest mystery in the world is that God has chosen to live in you and me. The Apostle Paul said that this is the mystery: Christ in you, the hope of glory. And now that Christ lives in you, God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also, I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. And that's what God is doing in and through every believer. A healthy church will have a balanced ministry, as described in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all of those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. And day by day, continually, with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. What would you say is the emphasis in your church today? What is the greatest strength in your church? What's the biggest weakness facing your church? Why? Why do you think it is? Jot down your ideas. There are four things that stand out in this passage of Scripture: worship, instruction, fellowship, evangelism. I visit a lot of churches that have great worship service, beautiful music, and presentations where coming to the presence of the Lord God. But they're not too strong on instruction. Their Bible teaching program is not very good. Oh, they have reasonable fellowship, and there are people that they share Christ with. I visit other churches, and the worship service is not that great. There's no great musical talent in the church. But boy, they are strong in the preaching of the Word of God, in the teaching of the Word of God. And there's fellowship among them. And not that strong on evangelism, however. And then I attend other churches where the fellowship is great. Man, they're eating all the time. Worship is there. Yeah, some instruction, evangelism takes place through their fellowship. And then I visit other churches where they're baptizing every Sunday morning. Why, there's a strong emphasis upon evangelism, and they have good worship services, but boy, they're not too good when it comes to instruction. But what the apostle is talking about in this passage of Scripture is a balanced church. They're great in worship and adoration to the Lord God. They're strong Bible teachers. They have great fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. And man, they're out sharing Jesus Christ all the time. It's balanced with worship, instruction, fellowship, evangelism. Now, does your church have a balanced ministry? What changes could be made to have a more balanced ministry? Well, God wants us to have a balanced ministry. He tells us to go and to make disciples. The process of making disciples begins by leading people to faith in Jesus Christ and continues until the day he has completely transformed us. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." The process of making disciples begins by leading people to faith in Jesus Christ and continues until the day he has completely transformed us in character and likeness of Christ. We have the joy of being a part of that process because he saved us and called us to be his witnesses. We need to make contact with lost people. To get in contact with the lost, we must establish healthy relationships with unbelievers. Familiarize yourself with them, talking about their family, their interests, their hobbies. Spend time with them, talking about their vocation and religion. Most church members know very few lost people 2 years after they have been saved because all of their friends and contacts are now members of the church. Share with them the plan of salvation. That's the most important thing. Take time to talk to others about Jesus Christ. We must be prepared mentally and spiritually so that we can go to every open door and tell them about Christ. There are questions that will help us to present with confidence the plan of salvation. In a natural and simple way, ask, "Would you permit me for a moment to share how I came to know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior? Have you come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way? What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ?" Don't forget to give an invitation for the person to trust in Christ. Be sure to ask the individual if he understands the good news of salvation through faith in Christ. Help him to believe in his heart that Christ died for his sins. Help him confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord. Pray with the individual to trust him as Savior. Ask, "Would you like to receive Christ as your personal Savior?" And find the opportunity in your presentation to ask, "Do you want to know how to receive Christ as your personal Savior? Would you like to receive him right now?" Repentance is an essential part of exercising faith in Christ. Repentance means to change the mind and forsake your sins and have faith in God. Only God can cleanse us of our sins and change our hearts. He achieves this with the death of his Son. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, we're told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in John chapter 1, verse 29. And to follow God, we must believe in Christ as our personal Savior. Repentance involves a change of mind toward God, our need of salvation, the reality of our sinfulness in Jesus Christ. And you must repent. You must have a change in your heart and your mind about your lost condition and trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. It's impossible to separate repentance and faith. Repentance and faith involves the whole person. It's a change in our thinking, in our volition, in our emotions. And we become new creatures in Jesus Christ because of this change. We believe with our hearts, both internally and private, while externally confessing with our mouth to others publicly. We believe in Christ for the salvation of our soul as we profess faith in Christ before men in many different ways. Don't forget to give the person you're sharing Christ with the assurance of salvation. The Word of God is very clear that the new believer who has trusted in Jesus Christ can be certain forever that Christ has saved and forgiven him of his sins. We need to help the new believer to mark or highlight verses of Scripture that give assurance of salvation. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Use Scriptures to give a sense of security in the heart and the peace of mind. Ultimately, only God knows if a person is genuinely saved. However, a saved person will persevere in faith in Jesus Christ and produce the spiritual fruit in his personal life. In John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus makes it very, very clear that truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, and does not come to judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Is that your experience? Have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you die today that you would go to heaven? Have you come to the place in your spiritual life that if you died today, that you know deep within the depths of your soul that, yes, I have been born again, I am a Christian, I'm going to heaven? In the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 tells us, "And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life." We have it right now, this very moment. We have it from the very moment we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and the life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Do you have Jesus Christ? These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, and so that you may know that you have eternal life. Be sure and communicate this to the individual after they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Give them the assurance of salvation from the Word of God. And then teach new believers biblical truths. Do not forget the commitment that you have as a witness to new believers. Write a letter commemorating his decision for Christ. Stop in or make a phone call the next day and give a word of encouragement. Help him to make a public profession of faith in Jesus Christ and make his commitment known to others about this newfound faith in Christ. Arrange to have him baptized. Become a member of a local church that believes the Bible. And teach him how to pray and to study the Word of God. Remember, he is a new spiritual baby, and new spiritual babies need to be cared for. Let me encourage you, if you haven't already done it, to have a prayer list. And I mean a prayer list for lost people. Write down the names of individuals you know who need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and make a commitment to start praying for them every day until they put their faith and trust in Christ. Take a piece of paper and draw three columns. In the first column, list the names of individuals who are lost, people who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And then the second column, write down the date that you begin praying for that person today. And in the third column, write down the date when God answers your prayer, when you see that person come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Think for a few moments of people who are lost that you know. Members of their family, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your cousins, do they know Christ as their personal Savior? If they don't, write their names down now and begin praying for them. How about your neighbors? How about the neighbor that lives in front of your house or behind your house? Your neighbor to the right or to the left, you salute them every day. You say, "Hello, John, how you doing? Hello, Bill, hello, Mary." But have you ever stopped and told them about Jesus Christ and what Christ means to you? How about your friends that you've known for years? Oh, the man that you go hunting with, deer hunting with. Or how about the lady that you spend time with, talking about your own personal problems and sharing with one another the joys in your life as well as the frustrations? But have you ever shared with that person what Jesus Christ means to you? We're talking about people that you know. You don't have to call the preacher or leader in the church to come share Christ with these individuals. You know them personally. Begin praying for them. How about the school teachers of your kids in school? Do they know Christ as their Savior? How about the person where you buy your groceries? How about the person where you buy gasoline? You go and pay your bill all the time. You salute each other. You say hello to one another. Do they know Christ as their personal Savior? Write down the name of these lost individuals and begin praying for them today. And pray until the day when you can write their names down, or write down the date when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Sharing Jesus Christ is simple. In our program, in Evangelism in Depth, we emphasize the Roman Road. It's very, very simple. You start off with John 3:16. If you'll turn to John 3:16 in your Bible right now, I'll share with you how you can present Christ very, very simply with individuals today. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, God loves you. God wants you to experience his peace and his life. He desires that you have an everlasting, intimate relationship with him. In the space near John 3:16, write Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23, because that's the next verse we're fixing to go to. Write down Romans 3:23. We have a problem. Our problem is that we are sinners. We're separated from God because we have chosen to disobey him. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I don't have to have the Bible to tell me that. It's true. I am a sinner. In the space after Romans 3:23, just write in there chapter 6, verse 23. Chapter 6, verse 23 tells us that we're spiritually dead. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Jesus Christ is offering you a free gift, and that gift was paid for in full by Jesus Christ. In the space after Romans 6:23, right then, chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. "Because this is what God has done for you by sending his Son to die for you on the cross. God's remedy is Jesus Christ." God loves us so much, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bridge the gap in our lives. Christ paid our debt in full. Our penalty for sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8 tells us, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, Will, what do I have to do to receive this free gift if Jesus Christ paid for it in full? I'm glad you asked that. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved right now, this very moment, by confessing to God that you're a sinner, that you come short of the glory of God, that you've failed God and you need him in your life. In confessing to him that you're a sinner and you believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross and rose from the dead. Right now, this very moment, he'll save you and you'll be justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us, "And therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. We exult in the hope of the glory of God." Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You can find this study on abideinchrist.com. Go to abideinchrist.com, click on Bible Studies, and you'll find a free gift for you, salvation through Jesus Christ. Let me encourage you right now, this very moment, if you have never done so, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.